right. Good evening. Good to see you here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to see you out here on a Wednesday night. I believe God's going to say, am I on? There we go. Maybe. Maybe. All right. Hey. Hey. Let there be sound. I welcome all of you. Hey, if you need a Bible, once you get your hand up real high, our ushers will get you the Word of God. Just get your hand up. I really, really encourage you. You know, get in the Bible. There in John 8, it says, only the truth will set you free. But you got to abide in the truth. You got to stay with the truth. And the Word of God will set you free. So, again, keep your hand up. Once you get a Bible, go with me to Acts chapter 20. And we'll receive our tithes and offerings tonight. As you're turning to Acts 20, a couple announcements for you. The Faith Closet is open for 30 minutes right after the service. Be sure and pick up your kids. The Exchange is meeting tomorrow night at 7 at the Corn Maze. Project Love is Saturday, and then we're still collecting candy for all this stuff next week. So we appreciate your help on all that. We're glad to see all of you here. And before I even get into the tithes and offerings, just a couple little God thoughts here. 60-plus years ago, President John F. Kennedy said this. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And I lap that into the things of God. How many of us in here ever ask God, Father God, what would you like for us to do for you? Because we're all really good at asking God to do stuff for us. But when's the last time you said, Father God, what would you like me to do for you? And God loves us to praise him. God loves us to worship him, to thank him. And so I encourage you. Now, this is a tough one. I encourage you, go one day and don't ask God for nothing. Just praise him all day, worship him all day, thank him for his faithfulness, thank him for it. And I'm going to tell you, it'll try you. It'll work you. And so that's just a little side note for all of us. It'll wring the selfishness out of me is what it does. And it caused me to realize, man, God has been good to me. All right, Acts chapter 20, we begin here in verse 33. This is the Apostle Paul, and Paul said, I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. And what he just said there in a nutshell is I wasn't after anybody's money or anybody's possessions. Verse 34, yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities. This was the Apostle Paul. And he said, my hands. And so he showed right there, he went and got to work. That's what he did. And this verse goes on to say, and for those who are with me, for I have shown you in every way, I have been example by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And so he was saying, man, my goal in life is I'm going to work, but I'm going to take what I work, and I'm going to support the weak. Now, there's a difference between weak and lazy. Huge difference. If you don't work, you don't eat, okay? And so if you got a case of the lazy rears, you need to get God to help you on that. And we help weak, the ones that are weak, the ones that need help. And this is what he's talking about. But he ends this verse, and he says something really interesting. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, Jesus didn't say it would be more natural or easier to give than it is to receive, but he did say it would be more blessed. And so I pray that gets in our hearts, that it is more blessed to give than receive. And so your life and my life, it can be like a conduit that the blessings just continually flow out of me. They flow in me and they flow out. Or your life will be a cul-de-sac. And it gets in there and it never gets out. But your life will be blessed when you give, I promise you. You'll have incredible adventures with the things of God. So let me pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Father God, need that in our hearts right now. The very words of the Lord Jesus. Put that seed in us that we love to give, Lord. And you said it's more blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Go with me if you got a Bible to Luke 9. We're still here on our series on spiritual authority. I don't know how long we'll go. We'll keep digging in here and seeing where we're getting. But we're going to Luke chapter 9. And as you're turning there, you know, it's easy to dodge our responsibilities. And you can dodge your responsibilities, but you can't dodge the consequences that go with your responsibilities. You can't get away from those. And so we gotta dig in here with the Word of God and hang tight to the things of heaven. Luke chapter 9, and we're gonna be in this chapter. I'm gonna bounce a little bit, but we'll start in verse 1. Then the Lord Jesus, called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority. Now notice what he said. Jesus gave them power and authority. Jesus imparted to his disciples power and authority. We see that right here in the Bible. It's very clear. Now, note what the power and authority was for. He gave them power and authority over all demons. And notice he said all demons. You know why he says all? Because he whipped every one of them. He knocked them around. They know who Jesus is. And so a couple things off that. One, I want you to see. The demons are real, okay? They're not make-believe. When Jesus talks about this, and so if Jesus gave his disciples power and authority over all demons, there must be reasons he gives it to them. Keep reading. And to cure diseases. Now, when you see this here, he transfers his power and authority to these disciples. Verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so right here is the commission that we are assigned to do business as authorized representatives of the Lord Jesus. Now, when I read this right here and verses 1 and 2, we need to live with an expectation that God is the God of breakthrough. Now, it's very easy for us to read this, and we talk about how God sets people free from demonic activity. God heals people from sickness and disease. But if we have no expectation, if we don't have any faith that God's going to do that, he's not going to do it. And when we were in here praying last night, it challenged all of us that were at Tuesday night prayer. And so I welcome you to jump in here with us and say, okay, Father God, grace us to start believing the scriptures, and when we come in here, there's an expectation that we're going to see people, if they need to be free, they'll be free. If we need to see people healed, God's going to show up. There's one of you who agrees with that. I think God's elevating stuff. I don't know about you. I've read my Bible for 40 plus years now. And I know God doesn't change because the Bible says he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said in Psalms 119, my word is forever settled in heaven. But I still believe God heals and does those things. And so God's not the problem. You know who the problem is? We are. Same chapter. Jump with me to verse 37. Luke 9, verse 37. Now it happened on the next day when they'd come down from the mountains that a great multitude met Jesus. Suddenly a man from the multitude. Now just picture this, okay? Everywhere Jesus went, he had the multitudes gravitate toward him. So here he comes down from the mountain, and the multitudes are surrounding him. The crowds are surrounding him. Verse 38 says, suddenly a man from the multitude, one of them right there in the multitude, he cried out. Now, when you see the word cried out, it has the meaning he shouted. If there was a multitude of people, of crowds there, they didn't have microphones back then. So he's loud. He is loud, and he cries out saying, teacher, I implore you or I beg you, look on my son, for he is my only child. Now, this man is letting Jesus know there's some issues with my son and my only child. Keep reading, verse 39. And behold, A spirit, now notice what it says here, a spirit. A demonic spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. Now, if we break this down, the devil routinely, he seized this young man, he tortured this young man, he injured this young man. It said there that he caused foam to come out of his mouth. This isn't a pleasant thought. And it's really not a pleasant thought if that's your child, that you watch that day after day after day. And so another thing I highlight this. The devil's real, okay? This stuff is real. Verse 40. So he said, I implored or begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. They couldn't. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithful or faithless or unbelieving and perverse generations, ones of you that you're so twisted with lies, how long will I be with you and bear with you? In other words, he's telling them, come on, you got to get going. You got to get up. That he's modeled this thing for him for over 3 years. And we read there in verses 1 and 2 how he commissioned them and parted them. But nothing happens here. And so the Lord Jesus says this, and then in verse 41 he said, bring your son here. Bring your son here. Now, when we read this right here, I've got to be rooted in the Lord Jesus. We don't have power and authority, me and you, on our own to do this. We can only do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I study the Word of God, the more I say, okay, Lord Jesus, help me. I want to move like you do. I want to speak the name of Jesus and see things happen. Anybody else in here like that? I believe all of us are. And so even with Jesus' disciples here, it was like he was elevating and saying, come on, boys, pick up the pace. So he said, bring your son here. Verse 42. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Now think about this. This man comes up to him. He tells Jesus all the things. And he says, your disciples couldn't set him free. And so Jesus says, bring him up here. The guy's making his way through the crowd. And he's coming to Jesus. And all of a sudden, this demon manifests, convulses, slings him around. Now, I don't know if this devil thought he was going to intimidate Jesus or impress Jesus, but he's not. Now, look what happens here when this takes place. Then Jesus, he rebuked. The word rebuked here means he sternly commanded the unclean spirit. Now, listen real close what just took place. It says that Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. Jesus didn't say one word to the boy. Remember Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these. So when Jesus rebuked, every bit of that was aimed at the demon and not the person. Now there's a nugget of truth in every one of us right here, right there with this. And so he rebuked the unclean spirit. He healed the child and gave him back to his father. And so this was a powerful moment. And again, I believe Jesus modeled this not just to the disciples, but he modeled this to us. Now remember, Jesus has already told them, I gave you authority and power, fellas. Same chapter, verse 49. Now John answered and said, Master, he's talking to Jesus, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we forbade. We told him to knock it off because he does not follow us. Now there's an interesting slant I caught on this. Some believe that the reason they told this guy to knock it off, even though he's praying in the name of Jesus, is because in verse number 40, we read, they couldn't cast the devil out, so there was some form of jealousy of what this guy was doing. And so they said, we told him to knock it off. Don't do this. Now, verse 50, I believe, is not just for them. This is for us. Now, watch what he says here in verse 50. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. And so Jesus corrected their thinking. And so anytime a person gets born again, Jesus is Lord of your life. You live for Jesus. You have authority and power. Jesus has commissioned us just like the rest of these. Doesn't matter how you spell your name. When Jesus becomes Lord of life. So I throw this in here to tell us, sometimes we put up with things that we shouldn't put up with. We speak the name of Jesus. Turn with me into the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. So what I just said there, the power and authority weren't just for the original 12, but they were for every believer, every one of us. Acts chapter 16. Interesting passage right here. Acts 16, 16. Let's see what we can learn from the B-I-B-L-E tonight. Now it happened as we went to prayer, they're going to the house of prayer, that a certain slave girl, some translation says a young slave girl, who was possessed with a spirit of divination. She was inhabited with a spirit of divination. Now remember this, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that the demons need some physical form right here on earth. They're spirits for them to manifest. Their ultimate goal is a human being. But we do know through our studies, we saw how they possess pigs. If you really want to get crazy in studying it, if you went to Genesis 3:1, how did the devil deceive Eve? It was a serpent. He possessed the snake is what that literally means. So right here, this woman, this young girl, has a spirit of divination. Now, when you see this spirit of divination, what this means, this spirit enabled her to tell the future. She was what we call a fortune teller. Now, let me read the rest of this verse, and I'm going to add some more to this. So she had a spirit of divination. She met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So what this is literally talking about here is this was what was called a spirit of a python that was characterized by one that was inspired by this guy named Apollo. So this was Greek mythology. And they believe that this spirit of a python would fortune tell. That's some crazy stuff, isn't it? This is witchcraft. This is what this is. This is witchcraft. Notice at the end of verse 16 what it says. She brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. So what was going on here is they were using this young girl to make money. Fortune telling. Now I'm going to tell you the secret right here tonight. Don't mess around with witchcraft. Period. Fortune telling, palm reading, horoscopes. I'm just telling you right now. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. You start messing around with that stuff, you open the door to it, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to come in. And we live in a society where many people think it's harmless. Woo! Don't buy into that, okay? You have the truth of the things of Jesus, and so what the devil does is he tries to twist everything Jesus does. It's what he does. But you don't mix a lie with truth. You don't mix darkness with light. You can't do it. Keep reading. Verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us, and she cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. This demon is speaking through this young girl, and she did speak the truth, but when she spoke it, she was speaking it in a mocking manner." She was literally mocking them is what was going on. And so everywhere they go, day after day, she's yelling this stuff out. Verse 18. And this she did for many days, but Paul became greatly annoyed. He's fed up with it. And it says here, and he turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that very hour. Another nugget of truth. Look at it real close here. Paul turned and he said, he spoke. He addressed, and notice who he addressed here. He addressed the demon, the spirit. He says nothing to the girl. We got to remember that. It's not the person, it's the spirit within the person. And notice how Paul addresses him, and he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And so when there's demonic activity, we speak the name of Jesus just like he did. Just here. And so it says, and he came out of her that very hour. She's delivered. And you would think everybody would be applauding, saying, yes, yes. But watch what happens in verse 19. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them to the marketplace to the authorities. So what takes place here? The owners of this, they bemoan their economic loss. They're mad. "We're not going to make any money." So you know what you see here? Some people are into money, and some people are concerned about people. Man, we got to be concerned about people. And so you see the name of Jesus right here again in action. How the name of Jesus works. So a few years ago, me and Shelly were on vacation. And we love the ocean, and so we were at a place where there was an ocean. And we went to an area that was where a lot of the tourism was one morning, late morning. And we get over to the other side, right in front of the ocean where all this tourism is. And all these little shops are opening up, and Shelly wanted to go into the shops. Well, I said, "I'm not doing that. Not going to happen." So I had my cup of coffee, and I said to her, "I'm going to be right here at this bench. I'm going to sit right here." And so these stores are all opening. Tourists are beginning to show up. It's like a boardwalk, and I mean, there's crazy activity. Well, I'm just sitting there enjoying the ocean, and I like to pray. I just like to sit there and talk to God, so I'm praying. And all of a sudden, within a 10-minute span, the atmosphere changes. I mean, unbelievably. Any of you ever been here in a place where you walked in and it was almost like light in the things of God here and darkness in the things of the devil? A collision? Anybody ever been there like that? You're like, "What's going on here?" I mean, it's going on. And all of a sudden, vendor after vendor after vendor, they begin to set up their booths. Well, I begin to realize where I'm at. They're all tarot card readers. They're palm readers. They're fortune tellers. Every bit of it is demonic as it can be. So you guys said, "You got up and left, did you?" Oh, no. I was the first one there. I'm not leaving. So, I'm checking it all out. I'm speaking the name. "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb." Oh, the blood of Jesus. I'm just sitting there drinking my coffee, watching all this. And tourists are showing up right and left paying money. I mean, I'm watching them read their palms. I'm doing all that. And all of a sudden, this darkness, it's like it overshadows me. This young guy comes walking up. He's dressed in solid white like he's an angel. He's got these big wings, and they're strapped onto his arm. And then he's completely covered in gold glitter. So he's sparkling, and he's got these. And when he would raise those wings, I mean, they were massive how they would go out. And so I'm sitting there checking him out, and so he gets, he's probably close from me to Jeremy right here. And so what he's doing is he's having tourists come up, and they all want to take pictures with him. So he would get families in there, and then all of a sudden his old wings would come out, and it was like he would be around every one of them, and he would stand up, and he'd do, and I'm telling you, something just wasn't right. So I'm sitting there watching, and tourists after tourists, there's money going just, and I think this is all witchcraft. This is crazy. So this family of about five, they come up, and they all get in a picture with him, and he's behind them all, and he spreads his wings on them, so it looks like they're all in there, and all of a sudden, I witnessed something, and at first I thought, did I just see what I thought I saw? He levitates, which means he propels above the ground without any support. He's off the ground about that high, just. And so I move down on the bench, and I'm looking like, what the monkey? And so, man, it's like the Lord upgrades me. I said, Father God, I'm right in the middle of all this junk. And I said, number one, you don't intimidate me, devil. I started speaking the name, the blood. I said, I don't care what goes around here. This is not going to impact me at all. So tour starts coming up. And I see, just keep pleading the blood of the Lamb. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. And I watch his facial expression. It changes. And he's got these ones in there, and he spreads his wings, and I can see his face, and it's like he's trying to contact darkness. You can seem like he's struggling. And the whole time he's doing it, I'm just speaking the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. Well, he can't get off the ground. And the people leave, and he's sitting there, and I can tell he's puzzled, and all of a sudden, he glares at me. He makes eye contact. He realizes. And I looked back and I realized, I'm not dealing with you, pal. I'm dealing with the demon in you. And I looked and I thought, you don't intimidate me. So out of my mouth, I said, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood. I speak the name of Jesus, da 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 da. And I thought two things. Number one, I'm not going to bow to the devil. And number two, I'm not leaving. I was here before you. This goes on for about 20 minutes, and finally he gets so frustrated, he walks away. I was asked this one time when I told this story, why didn't you cast the devil out of him? Listen real close to me. He liked what the devil was doing in him. He liked the money he was making from doing that. See, that's the danger of witchcraft. So don't think that stuff is harmless. And I'm just going to throw this in there. This is for free. A week from Friday is Halloween. Be careful with Halloween, okay? We live in a society where people think that's harmless. I've been around people that were full-fledged witches that got born again, and they said that is one of the most dangerous nights of the year in satanic activity, okay? So don't think it's not harm. Everything has a slant on it. That was free. Okay. Turn with me to Acts chapter 19. We'll see how much farther we get here. Acts 19. Ooh, the devil's crazy. He's crazy, all right? Acts 19, verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. That's quite a verse right there. Notice it said, God worked unusual miracles through the hands of Paul. Paul didn't work miracles. Paul operated under the Spirit of the living God. And so when people operate under the power of God, it's God. You can't turn those things on and off. That's why people got to be careful when someone says, well, I can do this and I can do it. Uh-uh. You're doing those things by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you better be humble, and you better realize it's God who's just working through me. And so there's a truth here. God does work miracles, unusual miracles, by the hands of people. This verifies the Bible of the baptism of laying on of hands. Everybody in here good with laying on of hands? We lay hands on people for, if you go to Hebrews 6, there's six ways of the laying on of hands. For healing, for deliverance, for stirring up gifts. It's one thing over and over, but it must be done in the name of Jesus. I don't lay hands on you in mine. I don't have any authority or power. But right here, it's biblical that God did things through the hands of Paul. Keep reading. Verse 12. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to heal the sick, and the disease left them, and evil spirits went out of them. So what does that mean right there? Where will you see the handkerchiefs? One of the best things I can tell you about that, it was like a sweatband would be tied around his head. So he would take the sweatband away, and it says the aprons, Paul was a tent maker. So when he would make those tents, he wore these aprons. And so, this is kind of sicko, but he had these sweaty sweatbands, and his apron was full of sweat from him working all day. And people would say, man, I want those. I want those. There was anointing on them because Paul gave God the glory. Paul always knew, it's God working in me. And so notice in this verse what took place. Look at the wording. They were brought from his body to the sick and to the disease, and they left them, and evil spirits went out of them. You believe God's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Man, it's Bible right here. Verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, which literally has the meaning, they were a group of Jews traveling from town to town. They took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Now, it sounds good, doesn't it? They took it upon themselves. But look at the end of this. They said, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And you know what that shows me right there? They don't have any relationship with Jesus. So they see Paul doing this stuff in the name of Jesus, and they take the name of Jesus like a magical chant or a charm. And they says, you know what? All we got to do is say the name of Jesus. So their goal was to do it, was to make money. You got to have a relationship with you. You got to be born again. Verse 14. Ooh. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest who did so. So what you see here is these seven sons of this Jewish high priest, they tried this same approach. They're all thinking, man, I'm going to get in on the money. We go around and, man, we speak this name and people get healed and all that. We start getting money. And so they think, well, we'll just use it as a magical formula. Now watch this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who the heck are you? Do you know in the spirit realm, the demons know the ones that have relationship with Jesus and the ones who don't. They know the ones that understand their authority and the ones that don't. So these demons pop back off right here. Now watch what takes place. Verse 16. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Woo! That's some crazy stuff. In the Bible. We didn't even have to go to the movie to watch this one. Man, it comes when you establish that relationship with the Lord Jesus. There's power and authority in his name. But man, we can't play around with this like we can do whatever we want. Listen to what happens here. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a hub for black magic and occult practices. Magic went on there like crazy. And so it came to dwelling in Ephesus. Now listen to this. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. I bet. I mean, these guys are thinking they're going to prostitute the name of Jesus for money. This demon jumps on them, overpowers them, beats them up, and they run around naked. I bet people are saying, we got to get right with God. We got to get right with God. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. You know what this literally meant? It triggered revival. They began to confess their sins, and they spoke about their secret deeds. Now watch how this ends, verse 19. Also, many of those who practiced magic, here it is. They brought their books together, they burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And so you know what this shows me here? They took their books, they took their scrolls that they chanted with, and they burned every one of them. You know what that means? We got to get them out of our life. And so if you've got stuff in your house right now that's not godly, that's full of witch, get it out. Burn it. Maybe we'd have a big bonfire sometime, just torch this. Why do I say that? You don't want to give place to the devil, okay? I mean, this stuff just didn't take place in the Bible. This stuff happens right now. It happens big time. You know, I had a guy one time, he told us that, he said, I'm going to curse you and you're going to die. And I kind of joked about it. I was like, yeah, right, buddy. And I got away from him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on me and said, listen, don't take that lightly. He said, that guy operates in witchcraft, and that's what he tries to do. And I thought, okay. Just showed me the severity of it. Why don't you stand up here? So what did we learn tonight? Ooh, we got power in the name of Jesus. We got power in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to share this with you just real quickly here. Before I got born again, I gave place to the devil. I opened the door to the devil. And a lot of it started coming with alcohol. I mean, when you're not born again, man, you are a champion sinner. And so I had crazy demonic activity in my life. I mean, there was stuff that would take place. My brother gets born again. And one night, me and him shared a bedroom for all our life. There was one night the devil started manifesting through me. And I'm so grateful. My brother knew the name of Jesus. And he spoke and he said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I cast that devil out of my brother. And I'll never forget, I woke up and I looked at him like, what's going on? And he was sitting there speaking the blood, the name over me. And something happened that night that changed me. It wasn't that long until I got born again. Now listen real close to me. Besides the alcohol and all the sin in my life, my brother asked the Lord, he said, Lord, how did my brother get so full of the devil? The Lord said to him, it's because all that junky music he listens to. Don't think music's not powerful. Don't think I can confess day by day. I'm on the highway to hell, and that stuff doesn't impact me. I'm telling you right now, there's things that we open ourselves up to the devil, and I'm telling you, he will oblige you. So raise your hands here to heaven, okay? Father God, we come before you. Who gracious tonight. Father God, we ask you to forgive us of sin, and if there's any stuff in our life that is tied up with witchcraft, oh Lord, sever that tonight in the name of Jesus. Help us tonight. And Father God, we speak the blood of Jesus in here right now. We speak the blood over every one of us. The blood marks us as overcomers. Father God, we speak the name of Jesus right now, that you heal disease and sickness, miracles as we speak. And Father God, if there's demonic activity and people in here right now, we tell you, you gotta go. You gotta go in the name of Jesus. And the Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.